the people for $245. I meant to say earlier and forgot it to pray for Sister Bonnie. They say she's having surgery tomorrow on her leg, so pray for her. And I meant to give that in earlier and forgot it. But appreciate you, appreciate your giving. I debated to preach this tonight because it was so, I guess, so familiar with what I preached last Wednesday and what Brother Ashley preached Sunday. But I learned a long time ago, the mailman don't gripe about the letters. He just tries to get them there on time. So I'm going to try to preach to you what's on my heart. I hope you'll help me. I'm not used to preaching without Lindsay, and she said she'd be praying for me, but a lot of times I rely on her a whole lot. So I'm nervous tonight, so you pray for me and help me. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 19. It says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. If the Lord will help me for just a little while, I want to preach to you at the end of overwhelmed. At the end of overwhelmed. Would you pray with me one more time? Amen. Thank you for standing. At the end of overwhelmed, these verses are the prophecy of Jacob to his sons before he passes away, before he died. And it was traditional for the father to bless the children before he died, and they seen this blessing as a very, very important thing in their life. It was not only a prophecy, not only a blessing, but a prophecy in this case about what would take place in the lives of these children. And that's why Esau got so mad at Jacob for stealing that blessing. It was a very very important to them. And in their tradition, it was a very important thing. And you begin to read this chapter as Jacob begins to bless his sons. And he gets, some are very poetic. Some are very, very, very nice blessings. Some are stern disapproval of some of the actions of his sons. But he gets down to Gad, and he's the seventh son. He gets down to Gad, and he simply, it's just this little short sentence. It says, Gad. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. There's not a whole lot, about it. It's just, and I can just imagine how that young man felt there, standing there and leaving that place. And this is the blessing that he has hoped for and longed for all his life. And then it's just this little short sentence, and it's not really a whole lot to it. And, it's something that they really look forward to is what I'm trying to say. It's something very important to them. And here it is. It's just a little sentence. And it tells him that he's going to be overcome. A troop's going to overcome you. There's going to be a time in your life when you are just overwhelmed. There's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. You're going to be overwhelmed. And that word overwhelmed simply means to overcome with superior numbers. Or in one meaning, it means to be overcome with feelings or infirmities. Just to be overwhelmed inside yourself, not just from the outside, but inside. And so here he leaves, with this blessing of that one day you're going to be overwhelmed. In our words, we'd say you're going to be overcome, but in the end, you're going to turn out all right. Not really. Don't seem to be a whole lot of a blessing, but. When you study the tribe of Gad, you find that they are a very courageous people. They're very warlike people, a tribe. And they raise cattle, and there's a lot of different, if you were looking for something to study, the tribe of Gad is very interesting. A lot of their history is warriors. It was the tribe of Gad that came out to join David in the wilderness. It was many of the tribe of Gad became captains of his army. I believe it's in Kings. It gives a line of the men that was his the captains of his army. And most of them were from Gad. A lot of the mighty men that is recorded is men from Gad. And over, there's a huge record of this tribe of Gad that do very brave and very great men of valor. Anytime you study men of Gad, it will reference, almost anytime I have, it will reference you back to this scripture in Genesis. It will reference you back to a troop shall overcome you, but you shall overcome at the last. And I got to thinking about that. This is just my opinion, but I believe that often these men probably referred back to that themselves. Being a warlike people and being a warring tribe, I feel like that they often would refer back to that. I think it's something that they pass from generation to generation, a word of encouragement they pass down from father to son, and they would encourage each other. I feel like I said, this is just me imagining it, but when you study them, it always refers back to that, and so I feel like that they commonly referred back to it. I can just imagine as these men of Gad were probably locked in battle and probably maybe worrying about how the outcome was going to be, I can just imagine that one would maybe lean over to the other and say, hey, no matter how hot it gets, don't give up, because in the end, we're going to overcome. In the end, hey, it may look bad right now, but in the end, we're going to overcome. And I feel like that is what they used to encourage each other to do these great and mighty works that they did. Some of them so unbelievable. I mean, it's listed in the Bible, so we know that it's true. It's infallible, but I mean, it's some of the things that these men of Gad did was just staggering. The Bible says they were lying like men. It talks about how courageous they were and how it said how that they, in one scripture, it talks about the men of Gad would destroy the arms and destroy the heads. And it talks about how powerful they was, how courageous they was. And I believe that it was because they would encourage each other. Hey, no matter how bad it gets, don't worry, don't give up, because in the end, we're going to overcome. And so I came here tonight to try to encourage you and talk to you and tell you, no matter how hot it gets and no matter how bad it gets and no matter what's going on around you, don't give up and don't give in and don't give over to the fear around you, because in the end, we shall overcome. At the end of overwhelmed, you will experience victory for the child of God. In 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse number 4, it's talking about Elijah here, and it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. You ever been there? I've had enough. That's what he was saying. It is enough. Amen. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. I am no better than my fathers. What he was saying, I'm no better than the idol worshiping fathers that I had. I thought that I was on the right track. I thought I was doing good. But in his battle, in his confusion, he said, I've had enough. I can't take anymore. I can't do anymore. I'm no better than they was. I'm not got any more than they did. And I'm done. I've had enough. And you know the story, how the angel of the Lord comes and he feeds him and he tells him to rest. He comes again and feeds him, tells him to rest, and he sends him on a 40-day journey, 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness. And then you get down to verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now you just imagine for yourself what Elijah must have been feeling like. He'd already, before this journey in the wilderness, he'd already was ready to quit. He was already tired and discouraged and ready to give up. And he said, Lord, I've had enough. And then the Lord sends him on a 40 days and 40 nights hike up through the desert. And then he gets there just to experience a wind so great that it busts the rocks on the side of the mountain. And when he gets up from that, there's an earthquake that shakes all the pieces of rocks all over the place. And then a fire comes and burns everything that's left. You ever been there? And so there he stood there. He was weary and worn before all this ever started. He was wore out before all this ever started. And then now here he stands on the side of a mountain, broke up, shook up, burned over. What was that story you told about Chippy, the little bird that got sucked in, washed up, and blew away? That's how Elijah felt on the side of this mountain that day. Here he was, and he was thinking, Lord, I told you 40 days ago that I've had enough. I told you a long time ago that I couldn't take no more. And it seems like you just keep putting more and more and more. And now what am I going to do? But you know, I've always wondered why this next thing happened. He said, and then the Lord spoke with a still, small voice. Now, I wondered about that. I think the Lord let me know it was just, he didn't need a display of God's power. He knew what God could do. He'd seen him call fire down on the mountain. He knew what God could do. He needed God's peace. He needed God's peace. And you'll find out when Elijah made it through to the other side of what he thought was overwhelming and what he thought would be his end and what he thought he could never survive over and what he thought he'd never see the end of, when he made it to the end, he found just what he needed, just what he was looking for. He didn't need the display of God's power and might, but he needed the peace in his heart that would settle all the worries and settle all the frustrations and would settle all the fears that had been boiling up inside of him. And he tells the Lord asked him, said, why are you here? He said, because I feared for my life. And he says a lot more, but to get down to the basics, that's what he says. He said, because I was afraid. And he needed the peace of God. And you go on to read about him, and it wasn't the end at all. He felt like it was the end. It wasn't the end at all. He hadn't even called Elisha yet. And he goes on from there to call Elisha to prophesy to several kings. And he does at least three more major miracles. He calls fire from heaven two more times onto troops of 50 men that come to take him. He calls fire from heaven at least two more times. He parts the Jordan River. And at least three more major miracles that he does. Plus several times he prophesies to Ahab and prophesies to other kings of Israel. And so you see, this thing that he thought was sure going to be his end was really nothing more than a passing trial. It was really nothing more than just something he had to get through to get on with what God was doing in his life. And something he had to just go through. And see, at the end of overwhelmed, you'll find just exactly what you're needing. And no, tonight you may feel like it has to be the end for you, and it has to be more than you can bear, and it has to be, you just can't take no more. My friend, if you will trust the Lord and you'll see it through to the end of overwhelmed, you will find that at the end of overwhelmed, he has just what you need. He knows exactly what you need. Hey, listen. This may not be doing a whole lot for you, but I'm already wore out. I was at home, and I'd write for a little while, and I couldn't take it no longer, and I'd have to get up and run across the living room for a minute, and then I'd get back over there, and I'd start writing again, and I couldn't take it no more, and I'd have to get up and just walk around a minute, because it was encouraging my heart, because I knew, hey, it don't matter what it looks like right now. It don't matter what it feels like right now. It don't matter what's going on right now, because then if I know that if I make it to the end of overwhelmed, at the end of overwhelmed, I will find exactly what I've been needing. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. When I make it to the end of overwhelmed, I'll find exactly what I've been needing. You know, we all have things in our past that hurt. We all have things that make us grieve. If we want to sit around, you can sit around and dry up if you want to. Listen, there's plenty to gripe about and plenty to cry about. But you can sit there under that juniper tree and dry up and die if you want to. But, or you can reach over and you can get you a double handful of what God's given you. You know, he could have sat there and threw that cake over out in the sand and let it run and let the buzzards eat it. He could have. Yeah, he could have. He didn't have to eat it. God never made nobody serve him. God never made nobody live right. God never made nobody do what they didn't want to do. Get up and go on. And you can sit there under that juniper tree and dry up and die if you want to. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Or you can get you a double handful of what heaven's offering you, and you can find what you need to get you on through to the other side of overwhelmed. You can find, listen, it wasn't peace. It wasn't the end of the battle, is what I'm trying to say. In his situation, it was just right in the middle. He still had 40 days and nights of desert, and he still had all of that once he got to the other side. But it was enough to get him from where he was at right there to the end of overwhelm. And you can sit there and die if you want to, or you can just get you a double handful of enough to get you through and say, God, I'm going to hang on until I ride out on the end of overwhelm, and I see the peace of God begin to flood my soul. Hallelujah. Hey, I've heard some people say, you know what? I just come to church and don't feel nothing. And I've been there. I've been there sometimes. But you know what I found? 90% of the time, you find exactly what you come looking for. 90% of the time, you come looking for something to gripe about, you'll find something to gripe about. You come looking for something to get mad over, you'll find something to get mad over. That's right. You come looking for somebody to talk about, you'll find them. Yes, you will. But it's a funny thing to me when some folks can stand up and say, boy, I found just what I needed. And some people can say, boy, I ain't felt nothing. It's dry and all, you know. Because you come, you'll find what you come looking for. And if you come looking for enough food to make it through to the end of overwhelm, that's exactly what you're going to find. If you come looking for help in the song service, that's exactly what you're going to find. If you come looking for help in the sermon, that's exactly what you're going to find. You come looking for help on this altar, that's exactly what you're going to find. If you come looking for it, you'll find enough to get you all the way through to the end of the battle. Woo! I preach about myself a whole lot. It's not a prideful thing. It's just the only way I know how to be personal and to bear my heart. That's one reason I ran from the call to preach for so long, is I didn't want people to see me. You'll see my heart, see what I battle and see what I go through. And I knew if I surrendered to the call to preach, that when I preached, there would be times I'd have to bear my heart. So, all that said, I refer to myself a lot in my preaching. It's not prideful. It's just the way, only way I know to preach. I was working at Law Grocery. Just had got married, and was working at Law Grocery, and a lot of things was going on in my life. I was order filling, going down through there. So many times, what we call prayer is just vain repetition, because if you've never really got honest with God and said and told God really what you're feeling, you've not learned the secret of prayer. The secret of prayer is very open. It's brutally honest. God already knows everything about you. You're not doing anything but fooling yourself. You might as well pray honestly. And that's what I was doing. I was praying honestly. I was going down through there, and I was just giving God a whole list of reasons that I had to quit. I'll be honest with you. And on the front of that forklift, I was stacking up me imaginary stack on the back of that jack. I was stacking up an imaginary stack of the reasons I had to quit. And I was going through everything I could think of. I was saying, Lord, this and this and this, and this happened, and this person done this, and this wasn't the way I needed it to be, and this was wrong, and this and this. And I had a pretty big stack of reasons I had to quit. Big old stack of them piled up there. And that all of a sudden, in the back of my mind, I don't even know this song. It's a song from way back in my grandpa's day. I don't know the song. It's a worldly country song. All I know is this one line of it, and it kept going over and over in the back of my mind. It say, the reasons for quitting don't add up to the reason why. And so I had this big old reasons I had to quit, and all this big stack of reasons I had to quit. And I thought, I'll just see if what reasons I got for being here. So on the other side, I started stacking up an imaginary stack of why I ever loved the Lord in the first place. And I started with salvation. And I started with what He done for me. And I began to go on through to the joy that He gave me. And the peace that He put in my heart. And the hope that I had for tomorrow. And I started going through everything else. And I started stacking up every blessing I could think of. And listen, you think I sound crazy, but you ought to try it sometime. You'd be surprised what it'd pull you out of. You'd be surprised what it'd pull you through to just add up what God's done for you sometimes. I got so happy adding all them up and stacking all them up. That's one thing about order filling. You can run around and people don't notice. It's not a, you can run around that crazy, work as hard as you can. They don't know what you're doing. But I was worshiping the Lord, running up and down them aisles and thinking, well, good Lord, whoa, you've been so good to me. And pretty soon that stack of reasons why I was here got so much bigger than that stack of reasons for quitting. Hey, there wasn't no comparison. But I got to thinking, there ain't no way I'd quit now. Look at all these good things. The good so much outweighed the bad. I didn't have no reason for quitting anymore. Hey, let me tell you. Come on here. The reasons for staying are so much bigger than all these reasons for quitting. Hey, you know what I decided that day? I decided I was just going to get me a double handful of grace. And I was going to make it on through the other side. I was going to make it all the way through and just let grace carry me all the way through. Just let it pack me all the way through. When I was younger, we grew up in that neighborhood I grew up with, out in Letterbox. There's a bunch of kids about my age, a little bit older than me, grew up on that road. And there for a while, we used to box a lot. And one of them guys had some gloves, and we used to box quite a bit. And come my turn one day to box this boy that's a lot bigger than me, a lot older than me, a lot faster than me. And we used to box till submission. First one to quit was one that lost, you know. He was wearing me out. Oh, man, he knocked me down so many times. I was so dizzy, I couldn't hardly see where he was when I got up. I think that's what's the matter with me now. I took too many blows to the head as a kid. But I never would quit. It was all I could do to stand up. And I remember thinking, boy, if he hits me like that again, I'm going to throw up all over the place. I don't know if I can take anymore. But I never would quit. I kept standing up. And you know what he done? Finally, he turned around. I hadn't hit him. I hadn't hit him but a handful of times. He about beat me to death. And he finally got so mad, he jerked him that glove off to it down. And he said, you can't whip somebody that's too stupid to quit. Hey, listen, there's a lot of things you can do in life and lose that. But there is one thing you can do, and all you have to do is refuse to quit. And that's, you'll see it. That's what Brother Ashley was preaching about on the other side. He already won the victory. All I got to do is stay in the fight. He already won the victory. It's not in my strength. The weaker I am, the better it is, because in my weakness, that's when He's strong. And when I'm frail and feeble, that's when I'm doing my best. When I'm humble and low, hey, that's when He's fighting the strongest. And all I got to do is refuse to quit. And I'll make it through to the other side. And I'll make it through to victory. He's already purchased my victory. All I got to do is stay in the fight. Woo! God Almighty. Woo! Great God Almighty. I'm shouting on the inside. I'm going to need to preach on the outside. But on the inside, I'm going to jump up and down. Woo! Woo! All you got to do to win this thing is stay in the fight. It's not up to you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they just they kept going on and on about how they didn't feel good enough, how they thought God always got tired of them coming back and trying to do better when it seems like they messed up a lot. And you know, I was trying to tell them it ain't nothing to do with you. I mean, you know, you got to try, you know, but as long as you're willing to try, He'll pull you through the fire. I read a story one time. I read a story about one time I've heard that saying, he'll pull you out if you can stand in the pool. I've heard that all my life. But I actually read a story that there was a soldier, and they were trying to drain a swamp, and he got caught in some quicksand. It was a crew of engineers. He got caught in some quicksand, and everything they could do, they couldn't get him out. Finally, they took a big old crane, wrenched it over there, and lowered a harness down, and he put it around his shoulders. And they said when they began to pull him out of that quicksand, they said he began to scream. They said it was awful to hear the screams that come out of that man as that harness began to literally tear his shoulder joints out of place to pull him out of that quicksand. But they got him out and he lived. When I read that, it put a whole new meaning on it. He can pull you out if you can stay in the pool, because sometimes going through the pool is painful. And sometimes going through the pool thinks you'll never get over it, getting out of the pool. But I can promise you, he'll pull you out if you can stand the pool. All you got to do is hang in the fight. And at the end of overwhelmed, you'll be victorious. At the end of overwhelmed, you're going to find that he's got just what you needed all along. All you got to do is stay in the pool. We have this promise, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We have that promise. That's exactly right. 1 John 5:4-5 said, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It didn't say he that is the one that everybody in the church looks up to. It didn't say he that is just the super Christian. He didn't say he that just seems like he got everything going. It just simply says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. All you got to do is stay in it to win. All you got to do is try to win. Sometimes it's all you can do to try. But I promise you, if you'll try, you'll win it after a while. I'll tell you this one more story and I'll quit. There's a story of a guy that was running a race, and most of you've heard it. I've heard it several times. I think I've read it maybe once or twice, but there's a famous man that was running foot races, and he was running. They said about halfway through the race, he got a real weak and started lagging behind. They could tell, everybody watching could tell something was wrong, something wasn't right. He started lagging behind. And they said finally, they thought he was going to lose the race, and finally seemed like he caught his second wind. Come on around through there and passed everybody and won. And they was interviewing him at the end, and they said, what happened? You know, you seem like you about give out. And then he finally got, back going there again, and they was interviewing about him. He said, I got so weak, felt like I couldn't go on. He said, and finally I told the Lord, Lord, if you'll pick them up, I'll put them down. If you'll pick them up, I'll put them down. And that's exactly what he'll do for you tonight. If you feel like you're too weak to keep on running, he'll pick them up if you'll put them down. It ain't in your strength. You just got to be willing to be there to put them back and run on. It's not up to you. On your own, you'll never make it. On your own, you'll never be strong enough. But with him, you can do all things. And if you'll stick it out to the end of overwhelmed, you'll find it was just a trial. You had to pass through to make it to the other side and find what he had waiting on you. Yes, ain't that encouraging?
Yes, sir.
That's why I shouted all over that trailer on that hillside today. It was mighty encouraging to me. It was mighty encouraging to me. Figure out that, hey, I ain't got to be strong enough. I don't got to be. It ain't in me. But if I'll just let him do a work in me, he'll see me through to the end of overwhelmed. And at the last, I'll overcome. Thank you for your time and attention. These altars are open tonight.